Kim McNicholas on Innovation, spotlighting successful entrepreneurs, innovators, investors, and industry experts. Their stories and insights can help you become better informed, better educated, and a better investor. Your host is Emmy Award-winning anchor, reporter, and writer Kim McNicholas. Kim has been a journalist at Forbes magazine, a Fox News Channel contributor, vetted more than 3,000 startups, and has been a mentor for entrepreneurs around the globe. Now, Kim McNicholas on Innovation.
Welcome to the show. Today's show is all about the best gifts for kids to teach them diversity, acceptance, and self-confidence. The breakthrough toys, books, and games that will help your kids kick off the new year right. First, she's a musician, healer, and now a children's book writer. Please welcome Teo Hendricks with a new book called Humming Land that is just released. Teo, joining us all the way from London today.
Evening for us. But hi, good to be with you. Happy Christmas.
Yes, tell us all about how you got to where you are. What made you, being a musician and a healer, what brought you to write a children's book?
It's really strange. As a child, when I was growing up, one of the things that many people already know about me is one of the things that my father gave me was a drum. And he gave me the drum when I was around three and a half, four years old, because I was one of these children that was always hyper and running everywhere. And he gave me the drum to teach me how to be mindful, to teach me mindfulness. And with that drum, he would teach me how to calm myself down, a particular technique that would get me to tap into my heartbeat and repeat my heartbeat onto the drum. And of course, without realizing what that was actually doing, was it was stilling my heartbeat and calming my energy down.
Wow. And your father is Jimmy.
My father is Jimmy, yeah. And the idea behind that was, obviously without me realizing, was to get me into my own zone, so that whatever was going on in the world, I would always just focus inward. Whenever I needed to shut down or whenever there was something that I didn't understand, I would literally work out how I felt myself within and, you know, to try not be too influenced by other people. When you listen to your heartbeat all the time, when you can still your heartbeat, it's a very powerful tool. And, of course, it's something I thought every little girl could do. Well, I thought everybody could do this, Kim, but of course they can't. And that's what got me wanting to share it with children. My children can do that. And the children that I've worked with over the years can do that. But that's what got me wanting to share this journey now. So it's a beautiful gift, and I think, why not share it? Why not share it?
And what was the catalyst to bringing it to fruition now versus, let's say, 20 years ago?
Yeah, strange, isn't it? You know, you're going to laugh. I'm not a particularly religious person, but I clearly am, because during Lent this year, I went on a fast this year for Lent. And by day three, I was getting all these images. And during two or three dreams over the period of the first week of Lent, I got a story that came through about the drum and how I had to go back into the drum to still my heartbeat, because the year previous had been so chaotic. And if you remember, you and I had spoken about the One Love campaign, about so much violence going on around the world and how we wanted to make such a difference. And we released that song, the One Love Today song. It all connected to that song, because one of the characters that was in the book became a character in my video. And I think the two things together, with my own drum from Dad, and then this character in the book that was the naughty cello who was representing humanity, mm-hmm. It all just started to make so much sense in such a simplified way that I started writing it down. And by the end of Lent, within the 40 days, I had three more books. I have five full books now, two albums of songs for children to learn and sing, mindful songs, and a platform game. Crazy.
Isn't it amazing that
waiting to come up?
Isn't it amazing that when you are truly aligned, and we've talked about alignment a lot, that when you're truly aligned with who you are, it just, the ideas just start flowing, and the words just came to you, and the pictures just came to you immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the songs. Somebody said to me, you know, what about, because the three characters here have their own songs, but they're all empowering. You know, Drumi, my drum song, is about not taking too much advantage of time. You know, understand time. Never be in a hurry or you'll get things wrong, is how he says it. You know, Philo is about overcoming the things, the naughty things that he does. And Angle the Triangle is about let's be best friends. So they all have messages. And you know, it was only when I'd finished the books, when I'd finished writing, I actually understood all the stories because they'd come through me, not out of me. Does that make sense?
So it wasn't until the end that you actually understood everything kind of came together and made sense.
Yeah. It came together so fast. And I was just writing all the time. And, you know, and people were sort of going, she must be crazy. She's starving because mother's fasting. I wasn't eating. I wasn't fasting and eating at six. I was fasting. I was on water, you know, for the 40 days. I mean, and everyone was saying, you must be feeling sick. But I was so inspired. It was like something was giving me all this information. And at the end, I suddenly realized, oh, my Lord, look at what we've actually got here. And it all made sense that it came from the very beginning of that drum that I was given by him. And it's still on my wall today, still on the wall, you know. And I look at that drum even now today and I think, wow, only had you for 2 minutes. But you were supposed to make such a big difference in my life. And he did.
And so what is the greatest lesson then that you learned?
I think the lesson that I learned was we have no idea what gifts we have been given as children. We really don't. We embed them in our soul. And the greatest lesson that I've learned is that any time we can free them. And if we can teach our children to be aware, because mindfulness is just a word, you know, people get very scared by that word. But if we can teach them to be aware of who they are and be authentic, it's going to be amazing. That was the gift I got. Look at what we can do. We can change this world. We can if we know how to start the journey.
And this is such an incredibly innovative way to get the message out to children. I mean, storybooks aren't really a new way, but the way in which you're going about helping kids to learn about diversity and acceptance and self-love, all incredible things that are so key right now and into the future, that what really is innovative in this approach? Can you describe it for people in terms of the characters that you created are so different than what's out there?
Yeah, I think they're so different because they are mindful, they are aware. They are, Philo really truly is representative of humanity, you know. He's two things. He is a cello. He's this big purple cello that does very naughty things that kids will just love. He's hysterical. But every so often, he does crazy things. So every morning, Kim, he wakes up and he does this, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good today, okay? And then every night, he goes to bed and, oh, because during the day, somehow his bridge has collapsed. He's done something naughty and he's become the naughty cellos with his little strings hanging and feeling all red and embarrassed with his world. But that's called learning. That's what children need to do to grow. They need to learn how to be who they are. They don't know. All children know how to be is who their parents are. And if you're blessed to have parents like I did, you know, you have parents who are mindful, who are aware, who know exactly who they are, then you're blessed. And that's really what we need to share. So many parents nowadays, not just parents, people nowadays are living from a place of fear and not faith. And when you live in fear, you make all your actions with apprehension. You're nervous. You're, ooh. Whereas when you live in faith, it's like, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You see the really confident kids on the school playground. I used to see them with my youth foundation. You see the confident ones. And then you look across and you see the ones that are lacking confidence. Many, many, many times that will come from the parents, from the home that they're living in, from the environment, nurture or nature. You know, we can look at it like that. It's coming from somewhere. So it's not their fault. And it's not the parents' fault either. We are what we've been taught at the end of the day. This goes back to, you know, to whenever. It's not, this isn't something new.
No, it isn't. And we'll have more with Teo coming up. We'll hear more about her story about Hummingland in just a moment. Stay with us.
Now, back to Kim McNicholas on Innovation.
Welcome back to the show. This show is all about the gifts that are going to help kick off the new year for your kids in the right way, helping them to learn about diversity, acceptance, and self-love. Before the break, we were talking to Teo Hendricks. She has a new innovative book that's going to help kids to learn about diversity, acceptance, and self-love. So important. And before the break, we were talking, Teo, about how it's really important and the character's teaching us not to live in fear, but to live in faith, right?
Yeah, of course. It's funny, actually, because in Kim, in part of the books, one of the books, you'll find many of the instruments have parents who are difficult, who are they think they're the elite, especially the strings. CeeLo's family are the strings. His father is the double bass, who is the mayor. His mother is a viola. Now, in his family, his father thinks there's something very special, so they look down on people. And this is something that happens very often in life as well. We have so many people judging people. And it goes on in Hummingland too. But what you find in Hummingland is the children. We call the children little wings. And you find in Hummingland that all of the little wings are actually learning through love of one another and through respect. They're learning to stand safely together so that they can stand safely apart, should they need to. They're not learning to do that through prejudice. They're learning to do that because they're witnessing what their parents are doing, and they don't want to be doing the same thing. They want to make different choices. So Hummingland is all about the motto in Hummingland at the school. It's about a particular school called TikTok Music School. The school is where the children learn about time, understanding time, understanding the importance of living your own rhythm. You know, it's all about time. When you think about Dad's drum and the drum that he gave me that drum. And the thing that he told me with that drum is the first sound you ever heard was your mother's heartbeat. Now, when you think of that, that's why that drum beat will slow you, your pace down and set you into a nice rhythm. But when you think of that, that is actually who we are. So we all need to live the organic beat that we are. Mm-hmm. And the motto at TikTok Music School, which is over all the doors, is Gloria Vita Tua, which is Latin for live your beat. And that's what the children in the school try and do. So Hummingland is about getting children to understand who they are, not who their parents are. Parents are wonderful, but we are not defined by by our parents, however iconic they may be. We're not. We are defined by the footsteps we take in this lifetime and the journey that we end up making ourselves. And that's what children will learn. And that's how we as parents need to be really mindful in teaching our children. Go on and be more than I am. Go on and do better than I am. You know, go on and do everything, because you can become president. You can do all these things. You just need to be mindful and aware of how other people feel in their journey.
And how are you rolling out Hummingland? So you have the books. You just launched on Amazon.
Yes, we have the books. We just launched for Mom's anniversary yesterday. We launched on the ebook on Amazon. So the book is there if anybody wants to tap into that and download that. We're rolling it out. We're doing a soft launch in Singapore in February. The book is available via the internet before if you want to come purchase it from Facebook, facebookhummingland.com. So you can purchase it there, but we're going off to Singapore. We're launching there, and then we will be in Australia. Then we will be in Hong Kong doing a soft launch. And then we're going to Dad's flat in London, where we'll be doing our actual launch for the UK in Lent, during the period of Lent again. Lent, for some reason, has been very special. So I want to keep that in keeping with what he wanted from us.
And so how many languages are you launching with?
We're launching in two. We're launching in English, and we're launching in, I think it's Mandarin. So we're launching in the two, but I think, you know, we're going to be doing many, many more. We've got audio, which will be in English, but we will be able to launch. We're launching a flip book as well, which will be out in, I think that's out in March, Kim. So there's a lot of stuff coming, and it's phenomenal.
And you're going to be
what we've got going on.
And you're going to be doing something very special here in the U.S. as well with this book. Can you talk about that? In partnership with hospitals?
In the U.S. we're coming to, because my illustrators are based in the U.S., based in Texas, and actually so is my cellist player who was on, you know, who started the whole thing off with the We Shall Overcome track. We're going to be launching in Texas, and we're hoping to launch at the bookstore where JFK was assassinated there. So we're launching there. We're also launching at one of the children's hospitals called St. Luke. We're looking to come into a place called St. Luke, which is a hospital for very sick children, Kim. And what we're actually doing there is we're hoping to be able to sponsor one of the rooms for children that, you know, children will go into when they're ready to get to end of life. So we want to be able to sponsor one of the rooms, and we're creating one of the rooms which will become like a humming land. So when the children go in, it will be like coming into humming land, and they'll be able to learn through TikTok music school and things like that there. So it's going to be phenomenal. It's all in the process of just happening. I really wanted to get the book in my hand because it happened so fast. I just couldn't believe it. I just keep saying to people, let me get it in my hand and then we can talk. But St. Luke's will be amazing, and that's all, you know, thanks to a very special friend as well. So we've been very blessed with this. I just feel that the universe wants this out there right now, and so everybody who needs to be involved is involved. Well, look at you as well. Everybody that needs to be involved is involved as well. And it's so fabulous that I just can't thank everybody enough. Really, really can't. I can't thank them enough.
What I just love is that once you have this simple concept that you wanted to create, you know, from the drum, and how many things just once you're aligned with it, how many other innovations that can just roll right along. And you have even visions to go into plush toys with this.
I know. I was thinking of that as well. It's crazy. You know, one of the guys we have like a Dragon's Den, Angel's Den thing here in the UK. He started that and he was saying, my God, you're going to have amazing stuff going on. And I said, I know, but let's talk about it when I got the book in my hand. It's going to be amazing. I said, I know, but there is a lot of stuff that we can do. And for this, I want this to be about helping children. It will always be about helping children. So the money will be going to, you know, the kids that it's dedicated to. I think I told you, Kim, one of the things that I really want to do is to use the voices of some of the children from the hospital to do the audio sounds. And that's going to be phenomenal, because what that will mean is these children live on. They go on even when they're not here. We are all spirit. You know, we are just spirit. We are not here to learn how to be spirit. We already know that we are spirit. We are here to learn how to be human beings living together in a world that's so diverse. That's what we're here learning.
What an amazing gift to give to those parents and to the kids, and the kids knowing that they're still going to live on.
I think the kids knowing that they can get to a humming land out there is going to be amazing. Everybody lives on. You go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards until we, you know, you often hear people say, I'm not coming back. It's my last life. I'm enlightened. I'm going to keep coming back forever because there's so much that I have to keep learning. So, you know, unlike all the other kids out there, we are still learning. I miss my dad, you know. I miss the fact that he's not here, but I've got the drum, so I'm learning from that. I'm learning from the bit that I have. You know, these parents will miss their children, but they will have something that these children have left behind. And I believe parents will learn from Humming Land as well. I really do. I don't think it's about the children. I think it's about all of it together.
Wow, that's pretty.
We learn through our children. We learn through our children. You'll be amazed.
We do. I don't have children yet, but I definitely learn through my dog.
Yeah, I'm telling you, seriously.
It's my kid.
We learn so much through our children and our loved ones. I know, it's beautiful. But we learn so much from them. There's nothing we wouldn't do for them. Now, if that means we have to learn how to be, then maybe that's all it needed.
I agree. We have about 30 seconds. Really quickly, once again, where can people download this book? How can they find it?
Right, they can have a look. It's on, go to Facebook, on the Humming Land page on Facebook. You will find all of the shop there that's got all the different books. There's lots of artwork there that you can purchase, so have a look there. Go to the Amazon.com or your local Amazon UK, wherever, and you will find it there as well. It's under the name Humming Land. Look up Teo Irvine Hendricks and Humming Land.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Everybody. I think it's going to be fun.
Thank you so much, Teo. Coming up right here on Kim McNicholas on Innovation, we'll have more gifts to give kids to help them learn about diversity, acceptance, and self-love. So stay with us.
Now, back to Kim McNicholas on Innovation.
Welcome back to the show. Today's show, all about the best gifts for kids to teach them about diversity, acceptance, and self-confidence. We've had Marissa Louie, the founder and CEO of the Animoodles, on before, but I thought this was really important, especially as we're heading into the new year, that it's a really important concept to teach kids diversity, acceptance, and self-love. And Marissa, thank you for coming in again to talk about the Animoodles. And I want to focus a little bit more on kind of the what your Animoodles, your plush toys, what they are and what they teach kids, what your intention is with them.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here again and see you. So with Animoodles, by the way, we just wrapped up our Kickstarter campaign. We raised over $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were the number one. It was the number one kids toy on a couple different sites.
Yes.
Heading into the holidays.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
We're so thrilled to see that and to really see the community come together. And I think one of the things that resonates the most with a lot of people is the fact that beyond the Animoodles being a cool magnetic plush that you can take apart and build like you would with Legos or other building blocks, you can make an animal that's comprised of six different animals. You can make a six-headed ring. You can make a lion, sloth, unicorn, frog. Aside from that, it's also just teaching children that we have our bodies for a reason, but to also literally put ourselves in someone else's shoes by saying, okay, well, Brady Lion is going to switch his head with Iris Unicorn and see what it's like to be in Iris Unicorn's body for a day.
Right. We always talk about what it's like to be in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
And this is a way to truly teach kids that concept in a very impactful way.
Yeah, and it's all about empathy, too. So it teaches kids that, hey, it's not okay to laugh at someone for what they look like, their abilities, what color they are, for example, right? And so this teaches kids that, hey, each of us has something different and unique to bring to the table. And when you mix together an Animoodle with six different animals, then you can see that, wow, you've got all these superpowers. Brady Lion has a brave heart. Hazel Sloth can climb up trees. Sophie Elephant has a perfect memory, so she can remember everything. So if you put together those Animoodles, for example, you've got this super-powered animal that can almost do anything.
And how do you ultimately carry out those concepts? You have a whole story behind them, right?
That, yeah.
And you have puzzles that kids will have to, solve the puzzle,
yeah,
by putting these different pieces of the animals together.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, it is the kids following along on the journey of the Animoodles, where the Animoodles will be challenged to overcome all these obstacles. And what the Animoodles learn is that they have to cooperate,
mm-hmm,
and they have to switch parts with each other and to use each other's unique abilities in order to cross the stream or climb a tree or run across a volcano. The Animoodles will be challenged in all these different ways. And the underlying concept of that is working together, mm-hmm, appreciating each other's differences and saying, well, each of us is not, you know, perfect in every single thing we do or say, but combined, when we come together as a community, as a team, even if we have to work with people initially we might not like or we might not get along with, then the result can be amazing and we can perform miracles.
It's really interesting. Sarah Lacey, who is my former boss, she's the founder and CEO of a tech blog, Pando.com. It used to be Pando Daily. She always said, when you're innovating, you should always reach people where they are. Innovate to reach people where they are and guide them where you want them to be. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're reaching kids where they are. They love their plush toys. And you're guiding them where you want them to be through messaging.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen so many people, so many kids being bullied, you know, in the classroom, on the playground, in groups, in social outings. And I think it's a huge percentage of the population who grew up as kids being bullied. You know, even Eminem, the rapper, today, he was talking about how he was bullied as a kid, and that's why he became a rapper. He turned to creative medium to create. And so for Animoodles, this is teaching kids, like, hey, don't go and bully every you know, to bully other kids because maybe they've got something unique to bring to the table. Each of us has unique powers. And so we're conveying this message of love and unity and diversity and saying, hey, it's not okay to laugh at someone based on where they're from or if they talk in an accent or if they eat food that's different from you.
So part of, I think, though, what you're going to have to try and do with these toys is to not only get these in the hands of kids, but to get the parents to help the kids with the concept and take that those concepts that you're trying to teach and transcend that into their regular life with their friends.
Yeah.
So how are you ultimately not just reaching the kids, but also reaching the parents?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're available online on theannawoodles.com and will be available later on Amazon. But ultimately, it's sharing this universal message of the toys not being just a regular stuffed animal, mm-hmm. but that you can do so much more with it. And it's a technical toy since it has magnets, but it doesn't have a screen on it. So,
right, you're sitting here creating a very, you're not creating a digital toy right now. And that's so surprising in this digital world that you know, basic plush.
Yeah. And a lot of parents have said, I have to figure out ways to pry my children away from
the screen,
the iPad, from the iPhones, from the digital devices. And they said, wow, this is perfect. And so many parents are watching their children play with these for half an hour straight, an hour straight, 2 hours straight, with totally forgetting about their iPad, their iPhone, their digital devices, and they're just blown away. And they're telling me, wow, well, we can go to a restaurant, I can hand them the Animoodles, they can just fiddle with them, or they can play with them in the car and just totally turn off all the digital devices.
And it was so funny, you and I were hanging out at Starbucks, and there were two little girls. They couldn't have been more than what, maybe one was six and one was maybe eight or nine.
Uh-huh, right.
And we showed them these Animoodles, and immediately they knew. It's almost like they just knew instinctively what to do with them. They started taking them apart and putting them together in different ways.
Uh-huh. And I remember their father was just amazed at watching his girls just go out and mix them all together and put their phones away.
And that must have been, I mean, this is what, 2 years in the making for you to finally see something come to fruition. Right?
Yeah, over 2 years.
Is pretty significant. But now there's another waiting game. So you finished your crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
And now you're getting them manufactured. And how do you, it's almost like there's this lull.
Yep.
How do you get through this? How do you keep the momentum going?
Yeah, well, you know, two things. After our Kickstarter campaign closed a few weeks ago is next comes the hard work of actually producing the Animoodles. Mm-hmm. And so right after our campaign closed, some of our team flew over to visit our factories to kick off production. So mm-hmm. we've actually already begun production on Animoodles. And since we've visited our factory so many times over the years, is we're able to accelerate that manufacturing timeline to be more than 2 months earlier than we initially thought we would produce them, is getting Animoodles into the hands of customers now 2 months earlier than we thought.
And so if people are hearing this now, is there any waiting list that they can get on?
Yeah, well, you can pre-order Animoodles on theanimoodles.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Marissa. Coming up right here on Kim and Nicholas on Innovation, a 9-year-old that is helping to teach kids about coding. You don't want to miss that, so stay with us.
Now, back to Kim McNicholas on Innovation.
Welcome back to the show. Marissa Lewis, founder and CEO of the Animoodles. She is back along with, we have a brand new guest for the next few moments. I was telling you, this show's all about the best gifts for kids to teach them about diversity, acceptance, self-confidence. Well, this young woman, 9 years old, Samira M., she has a game that she created that teaches kids about coding. And I think that falls, Samira, in line with the whole self-confidence thing, right? Because if kids learn how to code, their confidence will be boosted, don't you think?
I think that is absolutely true.
So tell us about your game. It's Coder Bunnies?
Yes, my game is Coder Bunnies, and Coder Bunnies is the most comprehensive coding board game ever that teaches kids and adults of all ages how to code. And it teaches them the very basics to the very advanced concepts of coding. So that when they go on the computer to do the actual coding, they'll think that the concepts are familiar because they learned it while playing Coder Bunnies.
How in the world did you come up with this idea? You had to have come up with this idea when you were what? 7 years old in order to bring
yes,
it to market?
I was about 6.5, 7.
Oh, my goodness. So tell me, bring us back to that moment where you decided that, is it something that your mom and your dad maybe they taught you or introduced you to coding early?
Yes, actually, my dad and my parents introduced me to coding when I was about 6. And I got interested in it when my dad did a prank. So he did this prank, which got me very involved, and I asked him how he did it. And when I asked him, he told me he used coding. So then I got really engaged in what this coding was, and then he started showing me a few websites, and I started learning to code. Ever since then, I have always had a love. I had always loved coding. So one day when I finished playing board games with my parents, I went to the computer to do coding.
That's cool. So I have two nieces who are 4 and 7, and I just gave them the HTML and CSS for kids.
Wow!
Books. Yeah, and they had trouble actually with it. So I'm curious, you know, what methods or what languages you're using to teach kids.
Actually, Coder Bunnies teaches them the concepts of all the languages. So it doesn't matter which language you do on the actual computer after you play Coder Bunnies, but all of the concepts will seem familiar. Because, I mean, after all the coding languages have the same outline. So Coder Bunnies teaches them the outline of all the concepts.
So can you walk us through the game? Because, I mean, I'm excited to play because I've always wanted to learn to code, and I'm not a kid, but I want to learn. I mean, if you can do it, maybe I could do it.
It's really hard, even for adults.
No, but I think using Coder Bunnies, anybody can learn to code from ages 4 to 104. And so to walk you through the game, basically each player starts with their own deck of cards, which is move forward, turn left, turn right, and jump. And then so one of the basic levels, the objective is to eat its colored carrot using its move forward, turn left, turn right, and jump code cards. Eat its carrot, reach the destination while moving through the maze. So the maze is basically puddle and fences. So if there's a puddle, the bunny uses a jump card to jump over it. And if there's a fence, the bunny, it's too high for the bunny to jump over, so it has to go around the fence. And so this particular level teaches the concepts of sequencing and conditionals. So sequencing is a series of steps, and in this case, which helps the bunny reach the destination. And then conditionals are basically when, for example, if there's a puddle. So if there's a puddle in the bunny's way, it uses a jump card to jump over. So that in actual code would be if puddle, jump, else keep on going. And same thing with the fence. If fence, turn, else keep on going. So in this basic level, it teaches those concepts. But then there's also more advanced levels like stack, queue, inheritance, parallelism, and many other levels that kids can learn more advanced concepts with, too.
If you only saw Marissa and I and my producer, Jarell, in here, our eyes are just really wide. You are so far above us. And Marissa, she used to work at Apple as well as Yahoo.
Wow.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I mean, I learned coding just only starting in high school. So now kids as young as you were saying, 4 years old can learn through this board game. They can learn the theoretical concepts without actually having to open up a computer and start typing in stuff. They can start learning the concepts of the logic behind it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what's key. Do you think that this could lead, or is this something that you're hoping that will lead to schools focusing on reading, writing, arithmetic, and coding, and incorporating coding theoretically into every single subject as they do the others?
I think they will. Mm-hmm.
And what's next for you?
So right now, my goal is to get Coder Buddies in the hands of every child in the world. And I plan to do that by spreading the word. So I already have started giving workshops at places like libraries, different schools, and then at different events. And then I've also done a few workshops at companies like Microsoft, Google, and Intel, and others. So I plan to make Coder Buddies in the hands of every child in the world, and maybe also expand on a few of my initiatives. So I have a few initiatives, and one of them is called Girls Who Code. Girls Who Code helps underprivileged girls learn to code using my board game. And then another one of my initiatives is called Cookies with Coder Buddies, where I interview people that kids like me can learn from. And so when I interview them, I've interviewed people like educators, entrepreneurs, leaders, and just individual people who make an impact in our community. So that's what Cookies with Coder Buddies is. And then my last initiative is called Yes, 1 Billion Kids Can Code. And Yes, 1 Billion Kids Can Code is basically where I plan to get Coder Buddies also in the hands of every child in the world. Basically, the basic necessities of life is food, shelter, and clothing. But coding is also starting to become a basic necessity in life. So people are donating Coder Buddies games to different schools so that maybe other schools can also learn to code.
Well, fantastic. Well, we are out of time. So where can people find out more?
People can find out more at my website, www.coderbunnies.com, or they can also find out more. My game is available on Amazon and then all my social medias like LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and others.
Thank you so much. Have a great week, everyone.
This has been Kim McNicholas on Innovation. You can connect with Kim on Facebook/Kim McNicholas or email kimmcnicholas@gmail.com. Be sure to join us again next Friday at 1 for Kim McNicholas on Innovation.